Consider his omnipotence. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus calmed the storm, and just with his voice. Last week, we talked about how Jesus delivered the man who was possessed with all kinds of demons. And so, we know that our Savior has great power. But that's not only for the sake of saying he has that power. I want to encourage us today that that power is available for us. It's available to live the Christian life. In fact, it's greatly needed. Without it, we can't live the Christian life. I'm thankful today that our Lord Jesus Christ possesses all the attributes of the deity of God. And yet, all throughout the scriptures, as we see him doing miracle after miracle, it didn't even matter for some people. No matter what power he showed, it still didn't cause everyone to believe. As we think about his miraculous works, before we jump into the story of Lazarus at Bethany, what is the purpose of his miraculous works? Let me just give you a couple things to jot down and think about. What is the purpose of his miraculous works? You're in John 11. Just flip back, if you don't mind, to John 1 quickly. John 1. In John 1:14, it might be a verse that you've memorized, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his," what? "His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." These miracles were performed so that the people might see the glory of the Lord Jesus. In turn, they were seeing the glory of God. And hey, have we not seen miraculous things in our life? Have we not seen a mighty moving of God in our life? The fact that you're saved today is a miracle. The fact that heaven is your home eternally is a miracle. And that we might see the glory of God. Don't lose sight of that. You know, every morning, or one of our men prayed this morning, the sun comes up every day, doesn't it? In the summer, we see it a lot more, you know? But it's coming up whether we see it or not. And everything continues to go by the power of God. And so that we might see the glory of God. The heavens declare the what? Glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. And so number one, we want that we might see the glory of God. But secondly, turn over to John 20. John 20. Not only that we might see the glory of God, but that we might recognize Jesus as the Son of God. As the Son of God. John 20 and verse number 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples." Notice this statement. "Which are not written in this book." You know, we have what God wants us to know about himself. We have what God wants us to know about his Son. And what he did, but even John says here, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, not everything that he did is even contained in the Word of God. I'm thankful that in 2021, God is still doing miracles. And they aren't in this book per se, but they're written on my heart. They're written on your heart. They're representation of you and of me. And it's so that we might see him as the Son of God. Verse 31, "But these are written." But these are written. What is in the Word of God is in the Word of God, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that ye believing ye might have life through his name. So not everything that Jesus did is in the Bible, but what is in the Bible is so that we might, number one, see his glory, and that, number two, we might believe that he is the Son of God. Let's not lose sight of that. Over and over again, Christ proved his power in his earthly ministry. His earthly ministry lasted about 3 years. In fact, we find in the Word of God, and we'll talk about it in a moment, that he brought people back from the dead. He did miracles with just a little bit of food, feeding thousands and thousands of people. And yet, even though he did all of that, there were many, many, many people who did not believe. Nothing has changed, right? And that's not a fatalistic statement. That's just an obvious one. Even Matthew said that there is a narrow way that leads to life eternal, and there's a broad way that leads to destruction. But we as God's people, we need to recognize newly today the omnipotence of our God. See it not in ourselves. We are weak and we are feeble, but He is almighty. See Him in His glory and see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So let's go back to John 11, and we're coming to the village of Bethany. The village of Bethany. And we find three friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you know this account, and you know who these people are. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary and Martha are sisters, and their brother Lazarus. Number one, in the outline, we see Christ's purpose at Bethany. Verse 1 says, Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Skip down to verse 6. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. What is the purpose of his being there? What is the purpose of going to Bethany? The purpose of going to Bethany was because a dearly beloved friend, was sick. Lazarus was sick. And we know that. Now, this was part of God's plan, though. Have you ever been sick and wondered, is this ever going to leave me? You know, we're praying for Sister Ina. She's here in the car today. Praise the Lord. And her tumor's shrinking. Again, another centimeter. Praise the Lord. But there's a purpose for her cancer. It's for her family and her benefit. Yes, it's for their benefit. All things work together for good. It's also for the local church's benefit. She's our sister. Scott's our brother. So they're part of the family of God. So all of that, all of what's happening in her life, and many of you have dealt with possibly cancer before or other things in your life, and I'm just using that as a current event example, but even in all of that, there is a great purpose. And it may not even be known in our lifetime what the full purpose was. So what is the purpose? What is the full purpose? That's what we're here to discover. That's what we're here to wait on. That's what we're here to see what God has. Now, number one, as we think about the purpose, letter A, it was delayed. It was delayed. Notice the Bible says, he abode 2 days still in the same place. Now you think about that. Here is the man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the God-man, whatever title, the one who had the ability to snap his finger or to lay his hand on him or just to speak, and Lazarus would be healed. You would think that he would be getting right down to Bethany as fast as possible to heal him. But no, that's not how God works. We all know this, don't we? God's timetable often does not line up with our timetable. But again, let us not focus on what we perceive that isn't happening. Let's focus on what God is doing, whether we see it or not. And so there is a delay. He waited 2 days before going back to Bethany. Now, in that time, Lazarus died. Now, for Mary and Martha, you and I have to empathize with them and maybe try to relate to them that when somebody like a brother or a family member dies, there's going to be a loss of hope. All hope is lost. Lazarus is dead. But just because God delayed, in this case, Jesus delayed. Now we know the end of the story. Mary and Martha did not know the end of the story. They thought this was it. And so, but just because there is a delay in your life doesn't mean that God is saying no in your life. Hebrews 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Consider him. Here we are, 20 years in, and we're having to set up a tabernacle every Sunday. That can be wearisome, but there's a purpose. Is God delaying? Yes, we might think so, but God doesn't think so. God knows exactly when it's time. So what do? We don't consider this, we consider him. We consider what he endured. We consider what he went through so that we could have joy unspeakable and full of... Think about it. We have the peace of God that passeth all understanding because Christ went to the cross. This is nothing compared to the cross. Nothing that we will endure ever will be compared to the cross, by the way. So always come to the place when the trial is at its hottest. Come to the place and consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. I like Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Maybe you're familiar with that verse. It says, "But when the fullness of time was come." In other words, Jesus Christ came right on time. When it was supposed to happen, he arrived. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. We've said it here for years. God is seldom, he is always on time. He is seldom early, never late. He's always on time. Again, I need to get my time in tune with his time and be thankful for what he has provided. Always being confident that God will accomplish whatever he's seeking to accomplish, and it will be accomplished right on time. But we see letter A, his purpose was delayed. Letter B, his purpose was deliberate. His purpose was deliberate. Look at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto what? Death." It was for a purpose. It was for a deliberate purpose. What was he sick for? But for the glory of God. And that the Son of God might be glorified. You know, every challenge that comes into our life, that's exactly one of the purposes we should be asking God to fulfill. And everyone here has something on your heart this morning, no doubt about it. And what we need to do is we need to come to a holy God and say, "God, I want your purpose to be fulfilled in whatever it is. And the most important thing, God, I want you to do through this is I want to be able to bring you more glory. And so God, help me to be patient. And God, help me to be confident in you. And God, help me to consider you and what you have for me." So it was deliberate. This delay was deliberate. This purpose was deliberate. And we gave the verse earlier, Romans 8 and 28. Got ahead. Look back to verse number, or chapter 9 of John. Flip back to John 9. John 9. Verse number 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man." Whew. I think that tent's going to take off here in a minute. Might want to find some rope. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin?" Isn't that how we think? We're guilty of that. Right? "Well, you know, so-and-so's going through this, and so-and-so's going through that, and this is happening, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and what did they do wrong?" Well, it doesn't mean they did anything wrong. Did Jesus do anything wrong? No, he never sinned one time. And where did his life end? It ended at a cruel cross so that we could have eternal life. There was a great purpose for that cross. That we could be saved, that God could be glorified. And so Jesus answered in verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Manifest there means to be made known. This man was born in such a way that the power of God could be seen in his life. Think of Fanny Crosby, who would go blind. We mentioned her name earlier in conversation, and she would go blind at a very early age, and yet if we look through our songbook there, we would see hymn after hymn after hymn written by Fanny Crosby. There was something that was put in her eye that was not supposed to be put in her eye, and she went blind, and now we have many beautiful hymns that we sing. And so you might say, well, why did Fanny Crosby have to be born blind? I would point you to, or not born blind, but to go blind. I would point you to John 9, that the works of God should be made manifest in her. Why this and why that? That the works of God could be made manifest in us. Let's make sure that we're looking through the eyes of our loving God and our Heavenly Father. There was a purpose in this miracle in John 11. That God would be glorified and the disciples would learn something. They would learn something. So, Christ's purpose at Bethany, number one. Number two, Christ's passion at Bethany. Christ's passion at Bethany. The disciples saw a glimpse of the heart of their Savior. They saw Him weep. There's no greater comforter than our God. The songwriter said, "The Comforter has come." Here the disciples see the Lord Jesus Christ weeping because of Lazarus. Weeping because of not just Lazarus, but because of Mary and Martha. And they're grieving. Look at verse 17 of our text, John 11, 17. "And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews which came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Skip down to verse 33. "When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping," saw Mary weeping, "and the Jews also weeping, which came with her," notice, "he groaned in the spirit." He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And then here we see the passion even more of our Savior in just two little words. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. It's very evident that Lazarus truly was loved by the Savior. It's very evident that Mary and Martha were loved by the Savior. It's very evident that Lazarus being dead to the human side of our Savior, who took on the form of man without ceasing to become God. That's why we read in other scriptures that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But yet he was thirsty, he was hungry. His spirit was grieved here. Going through some of the same things that you and I have gone through or will go through in many more times, I'm sure. Letter A, it was a painful passion. A painful passion. Mary and Martha weeping over the loss of their brother. They agreed that if he had been there, their brother had not died, that he would have been able to somehow miraculously heal him. Maybe we've had those thoughts before. What if? If only it could have been this way, or if only this could have happened. And yet when we come to the end of it, we must realize that God is sovereign. That God is omnipotent. That God is in complete control, and he always will be. He's doing things on and with purpose. There's a purpose for everything that God has done and will do in your life and mine. So it's a painful passion. This is the body of Christ, right? When one piece of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And that's the way it should be. Some rejoice, we all rejoice when some are in pain and when they're hurting, whether it's a physical pain or any other pain that someone is going through. We're to take that on and we're to bring that into our own life and bring it to the Lord in prayer. And ultimately, all of us are to cast all our cares on him. Some have lost family in recent days. Maybe unexpectedly. Not that death is not expected, but we never really expect it unless sometimes things happen suddenly. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. Even in Anchor Baptist Church, we need to pray for one another, encourage one another. Again, it's part of life's journey. And we even see it here in the Son of God, a painful passion. But then we see letter B, a personal passion. It was personal. I love the local church. I love this institution. We didn't start it. You didn't start it. God did. Jesus Christ died for it. And again, the fact that we're meeting here together today is such a wonderful privilege. It's a privilege. And I hope and pray, coming through some things, coming through some seasons in recent days, I trust that we will not let the enemy ever again cause us to have less appreciation for the institution of the local church. It should be personal. This is not for the pastor and his family or for the staff. No, this is a body of believers. What is the local church? A body of born again, baptized believers, wanting to be a part of the great commission of God. It's personal, and you know, it's been very difficult in these days, but God has been faithful through it all. May we never appreciate it less, but only more. You know, this Bible that you have in your hand is precious. Do you have a personal time in it every day? I hope so. Lazarus, we know, is his dear friend. It's a personal passion. Who did the sisters send for help? Verse 3 tells us, they sent to the Lord. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And you have a friend who needs help. When we have a member, someone at Anchor Baptist Church that needs help, it's our responsibility to reach out and encourage and help, do whatever we can. It's personal. He groaned in his spirit and he wept. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There isn't anything that you and I can walk through and say God doesn't understand. It can never happen. He understands it all. Christ's purpose at Bethany, Christ's passion. One more. Let's just pray here briefly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we have this opportunity to gather together this morning. And Lord, we pray for these first responders that are going somewhere. Somebody has a great need. I pray you'd protect them and that they'd be able to help whoever's in need. We pray for the other places across our province today that are experiencing difficulties and fires and things, that you would help those people that are working, that you'd provide for them. Again, Lord, we pray for this person that's in great need, who's called for help. We pray, Lord, that you'd help them even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three, Christ's power at Bethany. Verse 23 says, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Aren't you glad for that? Believest thou this, he says. Now, letter A, we see the power of hope. The power of hope. Christ had the power to provide hope. This was no false hope. This was no luck. There's no such thing, by the way. He provided real hope. Real hope. The Bible says in Titus 2, 13 and 14, looking for that blessed hope. That blessed hope. That's what we're looking for today. That glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that blessed hope. I love what Jesus said there in verse number 25. I am the resurrection and the what? Life. There's no other way to have eternal life. It's not in a church. It's not in religion. It's not in baptism. It's through Christ and Christ alone. I'm thankful today that even though I'm very undeserving of it, I'm thankful today that I'm on my way to heaven. Why? Because my hope is built on the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have family members and friends who need to be saved, let's continue to tell them about Christ. He provides hope. He provides hope. He's the power of hope. Number, letter B, he's the power of resurrection. The power of resurrection. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, don't lose sight of that, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Remember, we're considering his omnipotence. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see, what? The glory of God. Again, the purpose of his power is for the glory of God. He didn't even say that you would see Lazarus rise again. He said that you might see the glory of God. So let us never look at what even is, could be a temporal victory or a temporal blessing, but when we look at what God has done, may we not even look at that, but may we see the glory of God in it. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, them, loose him and let him go. You've heard people talk about the fact that he specifically said, Lazarus, come forth. Because if there had been anybody else dead nearby, and he would have just said, come forth, well, every grave would have been empty. All right? Now, he did raise 3 people from the dead in the Bible. 12-year-old girl in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8. Another one in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7, a young man who had been dead for several hours. And in this case, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Children, men, women, boys, girls. Christ can resurrect anybody, anytime, any day. He loves everyone. The power of the resurrection. There's a little bit of skepticism even in this text about the Lord Jesus. We found that even in the conversation with Martha, verses 38 to 40. On the fourth day, the Jewish people believed that this is interesting when you think about it. The Jewish people believed that at the fourth day, this was the point beyond reviving. I would have thought, you know, after one day, it's probably pretty hard to revive somebody from the dead, let alone 4 days. Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe. I wonder, do we believe God is still doing miracles today? Amen. Do we believe that God has the power to do anything and everything that He wills to do? Yes, He does. Maybe you're saying, I want God to do that now in my life. I need His power now. I'm waiting. Okay. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. A delay is not a denial. A delay is for a purpose, that we might even learn more of His goodness and grace. Consider Christ's omnipotence, His power. The little hymn says, God can do anything, anything. God can do anything but fail.